Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. The message we will hear this evening is the concluding part of Pastor Brian Grant's message entitled, Finding Deliverance in Christ. If you were with us last week, you will remember that Pastor Grant took us back to the account of Abraham's nephew Lot and his sojourn in the sinful ancient city of Sodom, found in Genesis chapter 19. Then he took us to Romans chapter 1 to deal with the questions, what is homosexuality and what is God's attitude towards homosexuals? If you missed it, we invite you to go online at gcafamilychurch.org and hear the very important first part of this message. But as we listen in tonight, we will remember from last week that though God's judgment against the sin of homosexual behavior is severe, his abandonment is not irrevocable. This message is not about casting stones. It is a message of abounding hope, so we invite you to listen. It will be helpful to have your Bibles handy since as we go along, Pastor Grant will be referencing a number of different passages of Scripture. Here, once again, is Pastor Grant.
So my friend, no matter what your inclination is, you see, this message is God wants us to talk not just about homosexuality, because we're talking about deliverance. And I believe right here in the crowd this morning, there might be somebody who's struggling with in some other area. And particularly, we're talking about the sexual area. You might be here this morning and you're a young man or you're a young woman and you just can't keep yourself under control sexually. You're running from pillar to post. Or it could be you're the same person, but every time you see the person, although you know what you ought to do, that you ought to control yourself, you cannot control yourself and you keep on sinning. I'm here to tell you, you can find deliverance in Jesus Christ. But second question, what is God's attitude toward homosexuals? So let me give you another politically incorrect statement. God has abandoned them to their sinful nature. Somebody might say, preacher, that's harsh. How could a loving God abandon anyone? Thank God, the abandonment is not irrevocable. But why did God abandon them? In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Romans 1:18 tells us that God's wrath is being revealed. And verse 24, look how it's being revealed. Verse 24, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their heart. Verse 26, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged in natural use for what is against nature. Verse 28, God gave them over to a debased mind. Do you see it? Do you notice that three times I said the same thing? What did I say three times? God gave them up. God abandoned them. When we reject and suppress God's truth and exchange it for what the Bible calls the lie, where we replace the creator with the creature, us. When we start abandoning God and suppressing his truth, we set ourselves up for God's wrath. But here's the interesting thing. Instead of sending fire from heaven, because many people assume that when God pours out his wrath, that the only way he does it is to pour out fire from heaven. God says, no, I'm not pouring out any fire from heaven. I'm going to abandon you to pursue your own lusts. I'm going to remove all the restraints. I'm going to remove the restraints of conscience. I'm going to remove the restraints of circumstance. I am going to remove the restraints and abandon you to do whatever you want to do. Verse 28 tells us, he gave them over to a debased mind, a depraved mind. In the Greek, that means, listen. It means a mind disqualified for its intended purpose. Did you hear what I said? It's a mind disqualified for its intended purpose. It's, let me shorten it. A depraved mind, the Greek translation, a non-functioning mind. Did you hear what I said? God has abandoned them. And as a result, the mind does not work the way it was designed to work. Young person, you might be here this morning. I hope you're paying careful attention. What we're talking about is not a little walk in the park. It's the serious stuff. God is letting you know, if you decide to pursue that pathway, He will abandon you to do whatever you want to do. But thank God, it's not irrevocable. Because it happened because of a total rejection of God. Oh, you say, oh, but I know people who say they're Christians. You know, the interesting thing is that there are those who would like to be homosexuals and create a God of their design. A God who we can strike out what He has to say, and a God who must adjust Himself to fit into my box. Have you ever realized that? You know, by the way, I have a number of homosexual people that I work along with. Some of them I have the privilege of getting a chance to talk some of these things to. But at the end of the day, we want her, one young lady, she was going to come here, but she said, you know, the only thing, Brian, I worry that if I come that morning, I said, I hardly ever speak about homosexuals or homosexuality. She said, I would just be the unfortunate one. The day I come is the day you're going to be talking about that, and you'd make me feel uncomfortable. Listen, my, we're not trying to make you feel uncomfortable. All we want to do is to tell you about the love of God, that God loves you. He loves you as much as He loves anybody else. Listen, this abandonment doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. This abandonment is that at some point in your life, you might recognize the desperateness of your situation, and that you will lift your head up and see the Lord Jesus Christ saying to you, I love you so much. Here I am dying on the cross of Calvary to deliver you. Oh, I'm so thankful that there is deliverance in Jesus Christ. If any man is in Christ, he what? He is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But second, not only does he abandon them, he regards their behavior as an abomination. Leviticus 18:22 tells us this. You shall not lie with a... Read it for me. You shall not lie with a... What about you got quiet? Is that verse pretty clear? Do I need to break it down? I suggest if your young people are not clear, you go home and you explain. You break it down exactly what he's saying. He says, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Now, what is the meaning of abomination? Oh, I'm going there. Webster's New World Dictionary. Here's what Webster says. The abomination. It's nasty. It's disgusting. It is vile. It is loathsome. It's a strong word. I want to talk to every member of GCA who has come here into God's house saying, God made people this way. God doesn't make somebody and then say, He gives you no choice. And then He describes it as an abomination. No, this is not how God made you genetically. Homosexual behavior. Do you notice what we have done in our society? We have changed even the terminology. So homosexuality is no longer homosexuality or sodomy. It is what? Gay. What a positive word. Have you ever noticed? What a positive, upbeat word. It is gay. And yet, no, God says it's not gay. It's nasty and vile. Third, God has abandoned them to their sinful nature. Second, he regards their behavior as an abomination. But third, God does not discriminate against homosexuals. Oh, that might surprise you. You see, this is one of the big challenges. Everybody wants to make sure they're not being discriminated against. And God does not discriminate against them. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9. In the 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, here's what the apostle says. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. God does not discriminate against homosexuals. He treats them the same way he treats all other sinners. Somehow in our society, we want to make a special class for them. God says, guess what? I'm going to treat you the same way I treat all other sinners. And in case you didn't know this, all unrepentant sinners will miss heaven. Oh, you might have come in here thinking God has got to take me as I am. He'll take you as you are, providing you're willing to repent. I'll talk about what repentance is in a minute. Listen, there is no special class. Some believe fornication and adultery are sins, but not homosexuality. That's the devil's lie. Third question. What lessons can we learn from Sodom? Number one, homosexuality is, here comes another politically incorrect statement. Homosexuality is mind transforming. It's mind transforming, and as a result, it's life transforming. Here we are in Genesis chapter 19, and the men of Sodom have heard that new men have arrived in town. What do they do? All the men circle the man's house. They haven't even seen. They don't even know who these men are. They know nothing about them. The only thing they know is they want to have carnal knowledge. You can explain that at home. But you understand, you got the point.
In a moment, we'll rejoin Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message. But first, let me share a special gift offer from Living God's Way. We're happy to make available to our radio audience The Word for You Today, a special daily devotional designed to encourage your walk with Christ. This daily devotional is available free and postage paid on your request. You are also invited to attend our Bible Institute each Tuesday night at 6:45 p.m. For details about the 4 Bible courses available, please call our office at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. We look forward to hearing from you. And now, let's return to the conclusion of today's message.
Some of you might remember in 2007, United States Senator Larry Craig was arrested at the Minneapolis airport. He was in a bathroom stall soliciting sex from the man in the next stall. Didn't know the man, never saw the man, but apparently there's some tapping code. Don't ask me to demonstrate because I don't know it. There is some tapping code that you do, and then he pushed his some foot signals. I am suggesting to you, homosexuality is mind transforming. Now here's some statistics that they're going to fight over. But this was well documented research. The research shows that 29% of homosexual men have had sexual relations with more than 1,000 men. Sadly, in the heterosexual world, there are some. In fact, I remember a famous basketball star who claimed he had. What was surprising to the researchers, though, was the incredible rate. Now, obviously, we're not saying this is across the board. By the way, I'm only giving the research. I forgot the name of the researchers. But the research said that 1%, only 1% of the men in that study, and this was not done by a religious institution, by the way, only 1% of the men had had sexual relationships with less than five men. I suggest to you that God knew what he was saying when he, in Romans chapter 1, he says, he has given them over to a depraved mind, a mind that is not functioning the way it ought to function. So instead of being, you know, what? This message is not to make us get all worked up. It is to make us recognize that God has work for you to do. I'm coming there in a minute. It's mind transforming. Second, social acceptance causes homosexuality to grow. Listen, in Genesis chapter 19, verse 14, it makes us know that almost all the men of the city came and compassed the man's house around. There is no doubt in my mind that social acceptance causes homosexuality to grow. People say, oh, Brian, it hasn't grown. I say, you better believe when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, there were not this many people in the closet. The closets could not hold this many people. But the society is telling our young people, this is an alternative lifestyle. And I want all the young people to know, this is not an alternative lifestyle. Because we have offered it to our young people as an alternative lifestyle, many are choosing the alternative. But you need to understand what God is saying. He is not saying it's an alternative. He is saying it's an abomination. Homosexuality is mind transforming. Social acceptance causes it to grow. But third, pervasive homosexuality and silent believers is a deadly combination. It seems to me, as I study Genesis 19, that this was the first time Lot had confronted the men of Sodom about their sinful lifestyle. Do you know Lot was living there for almost 25 years? Last week we saw that Lot was a righteous man. This righteous man had lived in Sodom for almost 25 years. And he is finally dealing with this. No man wonder they were so shocked. Who do you think you are? All of a sudden, you come with this stuff. I do believe, this is my sanctified imagination, I do believe, thanks to Lot's silence, when God decided, Abraham asked the Lord if he would destroy Sodom, if even 10 righteous people could be found. And God said, I won't destroy it if we can find 10 righteous people. They could not find 10 righteous people, including even Lot's family. Not even 10 righteous people could be found, because the righteous man Lot had been silent for 25 years. Listen, pervasive homosexuality and silent Christians is a deadly combination, and that's the challenge we have today. A silent church. And those of us who are bold enough to say anything, we say it in a condemning manner. We say it in a hateful manner. Instead of recognizing these are people for whom Jesus Christ died, that God loves them, and he sent Jesus Christ to die for them. We don't hate anybody. We bring a message of deliverance and a message of hope. But if you are so quiet, some Christians tell me, oh, I'm afraid. I just don't like. Well, why would you not like the person? You see, the issue is, God, homosexuality is a behavior issue. And God wants us to love the homosexual. And he wants us to love them so much that we're willing to share this life-transforming message. And part, listen, so the church is huddling together and saying, oh, our society is going downhill. But my goodness, it will go downhill if all we do is come here and make and complain. But I'm so glad I still have this book. Oh, I'm so thankful that God's word is not afraid of any situation. Listen, it doesn't matter what drama you're going through. It doesn't matter what addiction you have. You might be addicted to alcohol. You might be addicted to drugs. You might be addicted to pornography. It doesn't matter what the addiction is. You might be addicted to homosexuality. It doesn't matter what the addiction is. I am here to tell you this morning, there is deliverance in Jesus. The issue is, do you want to be delivered? Do you want? Final question. How can we find deliverance in Christ? Number one, recognize that Jesus died for all sinners. God hates the sin, but he loves. God has not found a homosexual he does not love. Let me say that again. God has not found a homosexual he does not love. And so in John 3:16, he says, for God so loved the world that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, he's talking to you, you know, whoever. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus went to the cross of Calvary because God loves you. It doesn't matter what your sin is. God loves you. That whosoever, he's talking to you. You say, this message is about homosexuality. No, this message is not about homosexuality. This message is about deliverance from sin. That's really what the message is about. It's about deliverance from sin. And you can have deliverance from sin right now. Because it says, whoever, if you will receive him. Number one, recognize Jesus died for all sinners. Two, realize that God can transform any sinner. Oh, we got to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm only going to take 2 extra minutes. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9. I'm winding down. But no need to leave you right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. You know, it was talking about all these people who will not inherit the kingdom of God. But look at verse number 11. Oh, I love it. Remember now, he described all the fornicators and the idolaters and the adulterers and the homosexuals and the thieves, the covetous, the drunks, the revilers. And then in verse number 11, he says, and such were some of you. Oh, don't miss that word, were. Are you with me this morning? Such were some of you. Thank God for the blood. The blood still works. And God says, listen, the blood, because of the blood, such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God, as the apostle speaks to the church at Corinth, as he speaks about these vile acts. He says, listen, right here in this church at Corinth were those who were homosexuals and sodomites and adulterers and everything else. But he says, listen, you have been washed. He says, you've been sanctified, set apart for God's special use. You have been justified. He has declared us righteous. Oh, I'm so glad for what the blood can do. The blood still works. And this morning, it doesn't matter who you are or what you have done. The blood still works. And Jesus is willing to save you, clean you, justify you, make you just as if you never ever sinned. Third, you must repent. Luke 13:3 tells us, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. We must repent. Repenting, you see, people want to get saved on their terms. God, I want to keep on sinning and get to heaven. And God said, no. You got to repent. What is repenting? You have got to decide to turn. You say, but Brother Brian, I don't know if I'll be able to hold it out. It doesn't matter, because when you make that decision, when you make it come to a point in your life where you're willing to say to God, God, help me. I want to turn. I want a change. The Spirit of God comes to live in you. He is the one that will help you change. God is not asking you to change by yourself. You can't. Because we all have this inclination to rebel against God. What God is asking you is to make a decision where you repent, where you say, God, I'm willing to turn from my sin, and I'm willing to turn. I'm willing to go your way. Are you willing to do that this morning? Are you willing to say to God, God, it's time, and I want to turn my back on sin, and I want to turn to you. Will you help me?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today.
You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. Or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you to tune in the same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.